Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. I don't know if we call Mark and Jan visitors anymore. They're here a number of times a year. They've got to head out real quick for a flight. They're coming back next month, you said, or soon. So we'll get a chance to have lunch with you or something like that next time. We have a number of other visitors, and we're very glad that of all the things you could be doing, you are worshiping God with us today, and we're very glad of that. Couple of things real quick. It's not tonight. The bulletin said tonight we're meeting for a fellowship and a meal. It's next week. She's as cute as can be. But sometimes she's a dreamy-eyed screwball and gets the dates wrong. She gets her numbers backwards. We're meeting next Sunday after our evening worship. We'll be having some hot dogs and some side dishes and so forth. And Puka's going to be great. Don't let us down. This is finals week, Puka. Don't let us down. We're having hot dogs with or without you. So don't let us down. He'll do fine. Puka's graduating, and we want to send him off on a good note, graduating, and just let him know how much we love him. And plus, he'll give us a chance to eat some hot dogs. Today, our lesson is titled "The Benefits of Going to Hell." I don't mean for it to come off as flippant. I don't mean for it to come off as anything but a reminder about hell. A lot of the people that we talk to in the world, many of them believe that there isn't a hell, that there is no heaven or hell. Some people will discount, and especially, I'm sure not pointing fingers at anybody here, but it is good for us to remember, one, that there is a hell, and that we need to do what we can to make sure we don't go there. Just a little side note, the end result, I guess, is the same. I have talked to Christians before that they were baptized when it dawned on them the immense love that God had for them personally to send His Son to forgive them of their sins. And that moved them to want to be baptized. The appreciation and the fact that if God offered this to them, what a shame it would be if they didn't take advantage of what was offered. Other people have different things that might move them. I know for me, I was scared to death of going to hell. That did it for me. I don't want to go. I do realize, thank you, God, for the sacrifice of your Son. I didn't want to go to hell. And when it was taught to me of what you needed to do to avoid, sign me up. I got to be baptized? Baptize me. I don't want to go to hell. I think Tracy and me have talked. We were very similar in the, we don't want to go to hell. It is a real thing. There's a lot of sarcasm in this lesson, but not in a way. I think you'll get it. One of the benefits of not going to hell is we will not have to hear the words of Jesus on that great day to depart from Him. People were wanting to know, and they asked Him, in Matthew 7. This is the scripture that was read earlier. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? And done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They're going to be directed to a place that they don't want to go. And we need to make sure we're not like that. One of the benefits, tongue in cheek, is for those going to hell, people aren't going to be carping at you anymore that you have to attend Bible class and worship service. In fact, those people that are carping, trying to remind you about, they won't even be there in hell. You won't have to listen to them anymore. There's no more arguing. You do not. People that go to hell, they don't have to, the moment they die, they don't have to try to rationalize out of thin air the arguments about Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And it is amazing. The longer you're in the church, you're going to hear some doozies. You're going to hear some doozies about arguing Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. Here it is. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. People try to twist that scripture, turn it inside out to justify why they don't have to attend worship services. That'll be over. Don't have to worry about that. You'll have more me time. No more having to wake up early to get to worship service. You have people that are going to be going to hell will have a lot more me time. Of course, that me time in hell is going to be taken up, as the scriptures say, with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Simple as that. So much for me time. In Luke 13, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us, and he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. You'll have some more me time. I don't think any of us wants that. People won't have to be critical anymore. Won't have to complain. It's too cold or it's too hot. I live too far from the church building. The traffic is so bad to get here. I just don't get anything out of the sermons. It's so dull. And these are all coming from Stacy. That's our conversation on the way home. At least we found something to laugh at today. Believe it or not, there are people like that. And I speak with people in other walks of life that they like. They like those, I guess what we would call those mega churches, where they can go and they blend in and they can fall through the cracks. Nothing will be asked of them. That they won't be called upon for anything. And those people that I just don't get anything out of the lessons. We'll have to worry about that in hell. In Mark 9, Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. 1 Corinthians, Paul says something very similar. And I, brethren, when I came to you, and I got to stop for just a second. I hear Paul saying this, and I'm just, you think of Paul as one of the greatest teachers in the New Testament, but he's putting himself as one of the lowest. And he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. I just don't picture Paul like that. I picture the bold Apostle Paul. His knees were knocking. He didn't have this flowery speech, or at least in his eyes didn't. He says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's where the power of the Bible lies. It is not in the flowery words of the deliverer. It is the word of God. And Paul saw himself as, I'm not coming to you with excellence of speech. I don't see myself as a whiz-bang presenter of God's word. But in Paul's eyes, I will present God's word to you, and the power of God's word will have its effect. And I'm sure there were people. Paul, throw a joke in. Paul, make it a little bit more exciting. Paul, can't you learn how to do PowerPoints? Paul, wrap it up. We gotta beat the pagans to lunch. No more having to come up with excuses for not serving and participating. That'll be over. Once you get to hell, you don't have to come up. None of us are going to be going, by the way. But people going to hell don't have to come up with excuses for not serving and participating in the work of the church. You know, some people say, I only have a few excuses left, and they're really lame. Were any of them not lame? That's my question. Do you know the difference between an excuse and a reason? A reason is what you give. An excuse is what other people give. You give the same one. If they're giving it, it's a lame excuse. If you're giving it, it's a valid reason. That's the difference between excuses and reasons. Isaiah 6:8. I love the attitude of Isaiah here. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. How many times does God have something to do? Hey, Brandon, we got a project. Who are we going to tell to do it? You know, isn't that the attitude? Who's going? We got a problem. What are you going to do to fix it? Here I am. Send me. That's Isaiah. Paul got it. In Acts 16, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia. Paul wasn't one of those, well, let me put it on the calendar, let me check my schedule, see what we... Immediately, we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. We were just talking, Dick, about how Eddie Montgomery calls Dick, I need somebody to fill in. Okay. I really can't. Can you get somebody else? So last week, Dick was driving over the hill to preach to the people of Pahrump. Here am I. Send me. Galatians 6:10, Paul would write, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, the key in this to me is to keep my eyes open for those opportunities. We usually have plenty that go right by me and I miss them. I have so many opportunities every day. Am I the only one, Ann, or you're shaking your head? Me and Ann have that problem. That we have opportunities and we miss them. Because maybe we don't see them as an opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. No more uncomfortable moments during sermons for those people that are going to hell. One of the benefits is you don't have to be squirming in your seat. Have you ever felt that preacher, he's speaking right to me right now? Have you ever, all they do is talk about how bad and sinful the activities that take up so much of my time are. Not only do they condemn my actions, but they condemn even my attitude sometimes. You ever have that attitude? Hey, preach, you're not the boss of me. Quit telling me what to do. It's not the preacher. It's God's word telling you what to do. Preacher, you were preaching a 45-minute sermon in a 25-minute zone. I'm going to have to see your license and ordination. You went a little too long today. People got things to do. Then the guy that comes up, I felt like you were preaching right at me this morning, especially after you pointed and said my name the third time. True story. A brother came up one, you might have heard this, came up years ago, jokingly, kind of tongue in cheek, told me after the lesson, I sure hope brother so-and-so heard that message. And it took everything. I exhibited more self-restraint in that moment than ever. I wanted so bad to say to him, it wasn't for him, it was for you. It went right over his head. But he was hoping brother so-and-so heard it. No more uncomfortable moments. 1 Corinthians. Do we sometimes squirm when we hear about sin that might, does the word of God sometimes step on our toes? Paul said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear. The Galatians needed to hear the same thing. Paul tells the Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. That one hits me right upside the head. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything that doesn't fit in there, anything like these things, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And the last one we'll look at, we won't have to worry about tearing up the house looking for the Bible to go to church. You ever run across that? Everybody's ready to go, where's my Bible? And you're running around the house trying to find it because you haven't seen it in about 4.5 weeks. And you have no clue where you last left it. Well, to be honest, some people usually don't take it anyway. What's the use of taking the Bible? You can't find all those scriptures. The guy up there talks so fast that you can't keep up. I'll just use my phone. Got a Bible app on the phone. Nothing wrong with that. I noticed many of you use your phone as your Bible. Great. What a great technology for us that anywhere we go in our pocket, we can have a Bible. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell the kids in school. When you're sitting there during a lecture, during an assignment, or during worship service. And there is a difference in looking something up and one of these things. And then texting back. You're carrying on, when people are carrying on a texting session with somebody, there's a big difference in looking a scripture up. And I don't know if you can, one of these days, you all need to get up here one day. You men, take a turn preaching, and you'll see it. You're sitting there, you're looking for a scripture, but then you're laughing. And then you're showing, look at what so-and-so posted on Facebook this morning during worship service. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The chapter before, Paul told Timothy, be diligent. Be diligent, not nonchalant, diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study God's word. It's humbling to realize God has given us his word. And that word, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the word of God. That's what God has given us, his instruction, and it's preserved all these years today for us so we can know the difference to avoid going to hell. We've looked at some of the, quote, benefits of hell. They're not worth it. Make sure none of us go. If we see one of our brothers or sisters starting to head that direction, as Tracy says, snatch them up and jerk them back in line. Let's gently encourage them back. If somebody is going to get off the path, let's make sure they don't do it without a fight from us. This sermon was not directed toward anybody here that, and I sure hope nobody took offense at kind of the joking about hell, because there is nothing funny about hell. Nothing. We want to avoid going there. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of the congregation, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent, repent. Whatever you need, please come forward while we sing the invitation song.